Hello, welcome back to the podcast. We are excited to have you all back. You are with the two most uneducated people on rugby, but we still like to talk about it and sometimes act like we know what we're saying. So Anna, how's your day treating you?
It's good. I'm so excited for this.
I am excited for this too. Because in one of our episodes, we talked through how we came across rugby, how we fell in love with it. We wondered how Americans didn't know about it. We decided more people needed to know about it in the Vegas airport, which I think a lot of other dangerous decisions have been made there. But then we also decided we wanted to shamelessly travel places. So how can we make that happen? So we decided we would jump on the rugby train and see where it would take us. And then we adopted the slogan of now, not how. So that leads us to where we are at our podcast. And Anna just started emailing people to say, hey, you want to jump on this podcast? And people were like super great and super nice. And they said, yes.
Yes.
They didn't ask us who we were, if we're crazy, if we even know anything about rugby. They just said, yeah, we'll slap somebody on the time there to do an interview. So we are just so excited about today. We never thought we'd ever be here. Who are we? We don't know. But Anna, tell us what we got. Tell us what we got happening today.
Yes. So today is a super exciting day. We have our first true rugby player guest.
They do exist.
On the podcast today, we have Sean McNulty. We are so honored that you would come on here today. And just so excited to talk to you. You get the award for first rugby.
Awesome.
Player to come on the podcast. And we're going to let you tell us all about yourself, but Sean McNulty is currently playing for the Miami Sharks. He wears a number 2. And if you've been listening to our podcast and learning, you'll know that he plays the hooker position. And Sean, we're so excited that you're here today and can't wait to get to talk to you.
Awesome. Yeah, likewise. Really appreciate you guys having me on. And yeah, looking forward to having a little chat.
So we're pretty starstruck, I'm not going to lie. Like, it's been a stressful day. We were like ready to get this done and over with. But when we were, when I was doing some research on you, is that, to me, that's just weird too. When we were reading stuff about you, I came across a quote that you said that the lads have been slagging me, saying I've got more clubs than Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And I laughed because when I was like trying to make a list, like I felt like I kind of needed one of those whiteboards detectives used to like pin where all the murders took place. Anyways, but also I'm a huge fan of Tiger Woods. So can you have too many clubs in the bag? Absolutely not. So, and yeah. If I ever get compared to Tiger Woods in a sentence, I'll take it as a win.
You're doing all right then, yeah.
Yeah, right. I'll take it. So tell us how did you come to the MLR? How'd you get over here? Tell us about it.
So I came over to the MLR, 4 or 5 years ago, like 2018 maybe. I was playing rugby in Dublin for Leinster, as in the Leinster Academy. I was there for a couple of years, played all my underage stuff there, so Ireland on a under 18s, 19s, 20s, stuff like that. And then after my 3 years at Leinster, I wasn't getting a contract renewal. I was just looking at some other options, and I think the MLR just kicked off that year, so it was the first year. I'm American qualified, so I just, again, looking at my options, and it was a pretty new league, and it was not a gamble, but like it was, you know, nobody really knew how it was going to go, but I just thought it was exciting and pretty cool and something different. And if I came over for a year and it was shit, then, you know, I'll just finish up, and it was a cool experience. And if it went well, like it has, then I'll just, you know, keep rolling. And it's been cool to be here since the start and kind of see it grow. Yeah.
Well, not many people get to be a part of something new in America, and you get to be a piece of that, which I mean, I will never be, but I think it's, I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty exciting to watch you guys. I mean, all of y'all work to make this a part of America and all of that. And, you know, Anna and I, we were really drawn to the culture of rugby down here in the South. You know, football is the name of the game. Mm-hmm. And things can be dumb and ugly at times. So we were excited to come across rugby and just the culture of it and how you guys play and how you guys handle the referees on the pitch. What mm-hmm. you actually say out loud is always so respectful and great. So, I mean, bringing the MLR to America, trying to get it, I'm assuming your goal is trying to get it to be mainstream in what we're doing. What kind of challenges do we as Americans pose to MLR and trying to get it established as an amazing sport that it is?
Yeah, that's it. Fair to say the goal is trying, I think, you know, the big ethos is like grow the game. I think probably the best way to do that is to get it into like the underage stuff. So into, I don't know if you can do elementary schools, into the, you know, the middle school, high school, stuff like that, because I think that's probably where they get the most benefit from. Obviously, there's, you know, a lot of competition. You know, everyone wants to go to the NFL or the NBA, and obviously the money in rugby isn't quite there yet. I don't know if it ever will be, but it's tough to compete. Tough to compete with that. But I think, I don't know, if you, like I said, get people playing from a younger age and maybe get into like a varsity sport in college, stuff like that. I think it's just a club at the moment. You'll start to see then, I guess, the next generation. You know, it'll benefit the Eagles, it'll benefit the MLR. But from the time that I've been here, I've definitely seen the numbers have increased. Like, we've done camps where, you know, there's like 1,200 kids there, you know, which I don't think would have been around, you know, 5-6 years ago or longer. So the pickup's there, and I think once people actually kind of start to hear about rugby and see rugby, they do quite fall in love with it. So it's just trying to get it in front of the right eyes.
We want you to know I represented, because we did, I don't know if you saw on social media where like the moms would go tackle their kids on football. Did you ever see any
yeah,
of that?
Yeah.
I want you to know I showed up and did a rugby tackle on my son. So
you did.
I could have used some pointers.
Is that on social media as well, or where can we see that?
It is not.
Okay.
On social media.
I'm sure we'll have to find that somewhere. That's how we grow the game. Inclusively.
That's right.
Yeah.
We want to grow it in a positive way. Well, thinking about what you compete with, is there, you know, you getting in front of people, starting at a young age, you know, and I've heard moms myself say, oh, rugby, it's so dangerous.
Mm.
Whatever. I think more kids could use a hard hit, but that's just me. So, any other hangups you see Americans getting caught up on rugby compared to where you're coming from?
Well, I think the danger thing is like they see like no pads. It must be super dangerous. But I personally think it's much safer than football. I think there's a lot more technique like drilled into you as a kid from a young age. Like mm-hmm. it's all about like putting your head on the right side and your body position to tackle. And it's like literally from 4 or 5 years old, that's how you're taught. And that's, you know, it's like the key part of the game the whole way up. So like I personally think it's safer than NFL like by a fair bit. But again, I think it's just, they're so used to the pads that it seems like barbaric. But again, if you get your kids in there and you have a good coach, then I think you'll realize pretty soon that it's all good.
Anything you got favorite about American fans? Anything you're like, hey, I appreciate that about American fans?
Yeah, they definitely bring the energy. I mean, which is cool. A lot of like chants, and they're pretty vocal, and especially as a hooker,
in a good way? Are they vocal in a good way?
Both, I guess. They're good if you're playing at home, and sometimes you're playing away. It's like, I'm a hooker, so like when I'm throwing in, like I pop a lot of shit. People, so sorry, I don't know if I want to say that.
Also, side question. There's not many people that get to say, I'm a hooker.
True.
How much fun do you have with that?
Yeah, I think the Americans really enjoy it because obviously they always find that quite funny when I tell them. But
I do. I'm in that category. I'm sorry. Like, I'm jealous.
Yeah. Hey, it's never too late. Yeah. Never too late.
If I said I was a hooker, not the same.
Yeah. Not the same reaction. Raise some eyebrows, but hey.
Not the same.
Power to you.
Now, Kelly and I love the MLR.
Yeah.
We've really tried to follow all the teams this season, tried to go to all of our local home games when we can. But we also have traveled a little bit for rugby. We got to go to France for the opening Six Nations game this time. Yeah, in February, between France and Ireland.
Wow.
And I just want to say that the Irish people were the best.
They did well.
We made so many friends, what we feel like that they are our friends.
Yes.
So tell us about playing in Ireland, playing internationally, and maybe what are some of the differences from your experience here in America?
Good question. Yeah. So underage, I would play, like, my international stuff is all underage. So that was like up to under 20s. And then the next international level is like men's full senior stuff. So I obviously never got to that level of, you know, playing Six Nations or World Cups and stuff like that. But I was lucky enough to play in a couple of under 20 Six Nations and an under 20s World Cup, which is pretty cool. Went to Italy in 2015 with the Irish under 20s, which was epic, and played against the All Blacks and, well, you know, it was pretty epic. So at that age, that's like, yeah, pretty awesome. And then most of like my kind of men's pro stuff actually has been in America really with MLR. But it's been great. It's been awesome. It's been really, really fun. Some of the teams get really good crowds. Like you said, it's pretty vocal. Like tailgating, all that stuff, like not really a big thing back home. So like, it's cool to see that side of things. But it's also, it's quite nice to see like how the respect side of rugby has made its way over as well. And I think the American fans that do get around rugby do quite appreciate that, how, well, fans from both teams kind of interact with each other in the stands around the game, and also how the players can interact with fans or supporters and even, you know, the other team and stuff like that. It's a pretty special sport. It's nice to see that, you know, it doesn't really matter where in the world you are playing, a lot of the kind of values stay true, which is pretty special.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when we were there and we saw, I just never anticipated the amount of Ireland fans that came to France to watch this match, and just how into the game that they are with the players, you know, and that's something that Kelly and I would love to see here in America, as people really get behind it. And I think too, it's because of all those things that you said, all the respect and all of the just culture that rugby brings. And I've seen too, a lot of international players that play in the MLR, you know, y'all just have a special love for the sport. I think an appreciation that you bring that is cool to watch whenever you play. So something cool, we read an article about you and your experience, and we saw a picture of you with Andrew Porter standing next to him that you all played together. So I mean, tell us about, you have friends all over the world that you've played with.
Ports is one of my closest friends from back home. We came through like the Leinster Academy stuff together, played our Irish underage stuff together. He's someone I still stay in contact with quite regularly. So it's been pretty awesome to see his kind of trajectory over the last few years. There's a period there when he was a little younger where he wanted to pack in rugby, he wanted to finish up. And so to see him kind of stick with it and really excel and probably the best in the world at his position right now is pretty awesome. But yeah, it's crazy. Even watching like that Netflix documentary and like it follows the Irish team, it's weird to see that like they're just like my mates from back home who I would have played, you know, with, and now they're like superstars. I guess it's a weird one when you know them so well personally. But it's incredible to see. Yeah,
and I'm going to say that we know they are these big stars We feel like you are a big star. But we're in France and we're walking and there they are at a coffee shop and we couldn't say hello or get a picture. He was one of them. Yeah. And so maybe next time we'll say, hey, we know your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing with rugby is, I guess at the time it might feel weird to ask for a photo, but like you absolutely could have, said, hey, I got a photo, and I'm sure the boys would have loved that.
Yeah. So on this one, I hope it doesn't mean we won't be friends, but so, right. Our only experience is what we get where we're at. And so we're watching the World Cup and we're watching Johnny Sexton, and he just does not seem like a good time. He didn't seem like a good time. And you're like, is he great? Is he a good time?
Are
we going to take a picture with him?
I don't know about that. He's a little older than me. He was in Leinster when I was there, obviously, but I was a young buck back then. Super, super nice guy. And obviously one of the best players in the world. So I think maybe with that title, maybe comes a bit more responsibility. Obviously. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you got to have a certain personality to be one of the best in the world, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been compared to Tiger Woods, but it's my opinion. I feel like rugby is one of the most physically taxing sports out there, period. I do. I've got the football. I'm watching hockey right now, so I'm trying to figure out if I think hockey's all that it's set up to be. But how do you prepare yourself for a match when you? I mean, I think about when Anna and I work out, we're whining moments after, and we went for 10 pounds instead of 8, so we're just trying to figure out like how do you guys. How do you guys prepare? And if you win, is there something fun you do? Just like what's that look like for you?
Yeah. I guess a lot of the hard work is done in preseason. So like that's where like the big lifting is done, the heavy running, all that stuff, trying to get the lungs, which is like the worst part ever. I hate it. Especially in Miami, like it's bloody hot.
Yeah.
it's been so hot. Once you get into like playing matches and get into the season and you're rolling in matches one after another, like the training tapers back a little bit. So the start of the week might be a little lighter, and then midweek kind of ramp it up for a hard session, get a day off, and then have a match. But there's usually time for a little bit of fun after a win. We won New Orleans at the weekend, so got to see all that had to offer.
We went back to the hotel.
Yeah, back to the hotel.
Water.
Early night.
Bed.
Feet up onto the plane the next day. But I think the boys, it's important to win, to enjoy the wins as well. Like, it is a tough season, but it's a quick season. So if you're all just head down, stressed and whatever else, the season can come and go pretty quickly and you haven't really enjoyed it too much. So it's important to enjoy the wins while you can.
And that was a well-deserved win. A great game.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, it's been it's a tough start to the season. We're the new team on the block and we played 5 of the best 6 teams in the league in the first 6 games. So that was a nice little baptism of fire. But the boys are feeling really good. I thought we played really well in all those games, and it's nice to get another win on the board and hopefully keep rolling.
Would you ever take off your socks and hand them to a fan?
Yeah, I've done it many times. Yeah, well,
no!
We don't.
Stop it.
Yeah.
And they just like take them?
It's usually towards the end of the season. We have to give our socks back every week. But towards the end, you can tend to get rid of a bit more kit. Yeah.
We saw that happen, and Ellie was very grossed out. But here's what I'm going to say. I'm just going to put it out there and be honest. I would take them.
Kids will take absolutely anything.
No, but I watched these people hand their socks to grown people.
If you were to hand me your socks, I would be like... Yeah, a little weirder. But kids will take everything. They take your shoelaces.
Would you take my socks? If I took off my socks, would you take them?
Personally? Are you asking Anna here?
Anna would not take my socks.
No.
I don't know. That one was weird to me. I don't know.
That must be a game time decision, I reckon.
I'm a fan. I'm just not going to take your socks.
That's understandable.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
No argument there. Also,
I got another question. So we got a friend, Bonnie.
Yeah.
Bonnie finds cauliflower ears attractive.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and she describes cauliflower ears as her mating call. Is that normal? Have you heard that before?
I haven't. I don't have cauliflower ears, so I don't really get much. Don't really get much attention on that front. But a few of the boys have some pretty bad ones. So
yeah, you know, we were.
I'll ask how that works.
We were surprised by that.
Yeah.
So that was a new one to us. And then, have you ever traded your jersey with another player?
Yeah.
What do you do with that?
What do I do with it?
Yeah, what do you do with it?
I got a suitcase full of like all my old jerseys and swap stuff. So it's actually kind of, yeah, funny one. So when we were growing, I grew up in New York, so I wasn't really like too familiar with rugby, but my dad had played, and in the attic, he had an old suitcase full of all his old jerseys from the 80s, mm-hmm. With like teams he played against, and me and my brother always thought that was like the coolest thing ever. So now that we both play, we keep almost everything, and we have our own little suitcases, and we think it'd be cool down the line to look back on.
And I suppose, I mean, you only trade jerseys with people you want to, right?
Yeah. It was mainly, again, it was more so at the under-20 stuff, the international stuff, where you get a new jersey every game. So, you play against New Zealand and stuff like that. Like, that was pretty cool for me. I think I swapped jerseys there and stuff like that. But like, at club, no, not really.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Not too much.
How neat.
Nice little memorabilia.
That's so cool. Okay, so the 2031 World Cup is coming to America.
Yeah.
What?
Do you see America being as good or fun of a host as the previous World Cup hosts? Because, you know, Kelly and I, we got into rugby about a year ago, but we really committed to watching it during the World Cup. And then, you know, we went to France for Six Nations. We heard all these stories about how the French are not always the nicest hosts. So we want America to really go big, you know, go home.
Absolutely.
So what do you think about America? Do you think it's going to be a good spot?
Yeah, I think it'll be huge. I reckon it'll be really big, yeah. It's a long enough kind of runway between now and then that hopefully the MLR can help kind of grow the game a little bit, but even just on the global scale, people can start to hear about it and learn about rugby a bit more. But, I mean, America is the home of, like, sports entertainment. Like, it's a business as opposed to, like, a sport just itself. So I think they'll go all out. And I've read before that, like, I think the All Blacks played USA a year or two ago, and even the All Blacks after the match were saying like how epic like the game day experience was. I think there was, you know, bands on the field and music and cheerleaders and all that kind of stuff that you don't really typically get with rugby. So I think if America do it right, which I assume they will, I think it could be one of the biggest World Cups ever. Yeah.
Awesome. Go ahead, Kelly.
Did you go to France for any of the World Cup?
I did. I went to Wales, Australia. Super random.
Okay. Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's tough. It's tough.
No, okay. So can we ask a question about that?
It's tough.
I'm just assuming you have time.
Yeah.
All right. So, we went through the Six Nations. We watched all that. And, like, we watched Wales, and they were kind of a bummer. Like their fans, all of it just kind of seen again, right? We're from the outside. And I was just like, ooh.
No good.
Yay, Wales, the land of all the castles. And I just, is that a fair assessment? What can you say?
I don't mind. It's gonna, this is kind of sounds bad, but I actually don't watch that much rugby, so I didn't watch a whole lot of the Six Nations or even like the club stuff. But there's two Welsh boys on the team here, and I know that Ireland won and they came last, so that was nice. That's about all I know.
You gave him your socks?
Huh?
Did you give him your socks?
I might have to. As a little sorry token. That might cheer him up a bit.
Yes. Well, do you have some goals to maybe be on the Eagles team? Maybe we're looking at the World Cup.
Yeah. I qualified for the U.S., so that'd be something pretty cool. I've spoken with them a little bit this season, so who knows? We'll see. But it'll be awesome. I'd love to get that opportunity to play international rugby. I have a lot of friends in that team, and I know they've got really big plans in trying to get USA Rugby back competitive again, back into the World Cups, and be pretty cool to be part of that, yeah.
Well, as the USA's biggest fans, I'm going to call us that.
Yeah.
What are the tips on how do Kelly and I get to the World Cup? Like, how do we get there? That's our goal with this podcast, is that's where we want to be.
For so free.
Not playing, just get there.
Yeah, we just want to be there. Okay. We'll interview people. We will carry your socks for you, whatever you need us to do.
Okay. I think just keep doing what you're doing. Just try and get people on the pod. Keep it fun. Keep it friendly. And I'm sure there's a nice little build up to the World Cup, so you have plenty of time. But I think you're going the right way.
Great.
I don't even like to handle my own socks. I don't want anybody else's
socks. I'll carry them. She doesn't have
them. There you go. All right. All right, so we got the Summer Olympics coming up. Is it special to you for any reason, Summer Olympics?
It is, yeah. This one is pretty special.
Swimming? You're interested in the swimming.
Big swimmer, yeah.
Yes, okay.
Big swimmer, yeah. My brother's running Olympics this year. To be a second time, which is pretty cool. Be a double Olympian. Unfortunately, COVID was kind of big during the Tokyo one, so my family couldn't get over and see him there. But all the family's booked to go to Paris this summer, which would be pretty special. He's the captain now as well, so I'm sure that'll be nice for my family, yeah.
That's exciting. Do you speak French?
No, I don't. I don't speak French. No,
probably be really nice to you.
Just started speaking Spanish, so just quite fun.
Yeah, you have.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
When we watched you guys, I forgot who were they playing, Anna? And I forgot.
Oh, I can't remember. It was
we had a hard enough time understanding what the referee was saying, because he was so passionate and very heavily Spanish. And even the announcers for your game, I had to concentrate.
Yeah.
On what you were saying. So I bet you do. I bet you have picked up a little bit of Spanish.
Yeah, I started lessons a few weeks back, so I'm trying to get up to scratch.
But if there's anything, with our experience with our new Ireland best friends, they speak like multiple languages. So I don't even think you have a problem. So you're probably nailing it.
Yeah, getting there.
So, are you going to wear a costume to the Olympics? Is that the sevens? Is that the thing at the Olympics, or is that only at like the tournaments?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not actually too sure. Hopefully, the kind of world sevens atmosphere carries over. I don't know if I can get to the Olympics this year, though. We're in season at the time, so.
Okay.
I'm booked to go, but it'll depend on where we're at here.
So. How good you do. All right. I hear that. Yeah. Have you ever watched LIV Golf?
No. I've seen like bits and pieces on social media, but I'm not I'm more of the PGA Tour stalwart.
Okay. So this is my great philosophy on that, is that you got the PGA, and I compare the PGA to like union rugby, where we're like, we got great tradition, we follow the rules, and then you've got like LIV Golf, which is like your sevens rugby, where we're just, we're having a good time, and that's kind of how I've made it make sense.
Yeah, that's not a bad assessment.
I don't know.
The seven, have you been to sevens events?
No, that's not our
list. I'm kidding. You have to get the sevens event. They're fun.
And we just missed LA, so that would have been our best chance.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know if you're going to go to Hong Kong, but you just missed Hong Kong, which is apparently the funnest.
That's what it looked like. It.
Yeah, it's wild. Wild. Yeah, I was up in Dubai Sevens this year. It's fun.
I just can't believe all the places you've been to. That's amazing. And that's, I'm jealous. Very jealous.
Oh, go ahead.
Have you ever had a dirty pint?
How's that?
I don't see it. Like, we read these things and we think, oh, everybody does it. Yeah. So they, like, I read that for rugby initiations, like, they make you all drink dirty pints. Oh,
mix. No. I've had to drink some pretty nasty drinks, but I don't have dirty pints specifically. But yeah, when I was younger, the initiations used to suck.
I'm just spreading rumors over here. So
yeah. That. Fake news.
Well, outside of rugby, do you have a sport that you love to watch or to play?
I really like golf. I mean, I think a lot of rugby players end up picking up golf at some point. Nice plan a day off. You can get down to the driving range. You need to just. Nice way to kill a bit of time, but not too strenuous. I think it maybe comes with age as well. I don't know. It seems like everyone picks up golf as they get older. So I'm pretty keen on that. Yeah.
Well, what about your favorite athlete? Who is it? Have you ever met?
That's a good question. I definitely haven't met him, and I don't even know who he is off the top of my head. LeBron James is pretty special, I guess. I don't know if he's my favorite, but it's the first one that's coming off the top of my head. Messi, the GOAT, living in Miami now. I'm not a big like soccer fan, but I see the kind of hype with Messi and how everyone loves him here. It's pretty cool. Yeah, that's a tough question. Yeah, we'll go with, they're pretty generic answers, but take one of those.
All right. Well, awesome. Well, you're probably someone's favorite.
I know.
You're definitely one of ours.
Yep, maybe one of my parents, but I doubt much. But even that, it's probably my brother.
I'm the second child, too, and whatever. Yeah. Whatever to that person.
It's tough out here.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so we got one more. We got a friend, our friend Amanda. She, I was telling her, for some reason you said yes to this podcast, which I don't know if you did. You just got told about it.
I did. Of course it is.
But I showed her a picture of you. And she said, oh, so he's the Travis Kelce of rugby.
Oh.
So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that comparison?
Yeah, but Taylor Swiftless Travis Kelce, I guess.
It might be overrated. I don't know.
I mean, not the worst comparison I've ever had. Definitely worse.
I mean, in this podcast alone, you've been compared to Tiger Woods and Travis Kelce. So I don't know where you're going. I don't know where you're going from here.
I don't know if there's much. I don't think there's much above that.
So just our moms listen to this podcast, so you scored 2-1 with them.
Brownie points with the moms, love that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. Well, man, we are so grateful for your time. Really, we can't even believe it, but thank you so much for sharing about your career, about yourself. And just know Anne and I will be doing our best to make sure more people understand rugby and how amazing it is. And maybe we'll see you at the World Cup when you're playing for the Eagles. So work hard.
Well, appreciate that. Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on, and keep doing what you're doing. It's great to see people trying to spread the word of rugby in this country, and I'm sure you guys will help that. So appreciate it.
Yeah, we're so grateful that you came today, and the Sharks are doing great in their first season. That's been really fun to watch. You can even tell on the, just through the video, the fans are so excited and are really bought in. And so we really enjoy watching your team, and we're cheering for all of you. So awesome. Thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, it's a really, really fun place to play. And thank you.
All right. Yeah. Well, nice meeting you.
Cheers. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Yes. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye. All right. So to our listeners out there, which may only be my mom and a couple other people, we do want to remind you that the Miami Sharks are playing the Dallas Jackals this Saturday night at 6:30 p.m. So you can watch that game on the Rugby Network. And remember, that is for free, or Logan, if you're out there, Logan, you can catch it live. It's in your backyard, or you can send the private jet, pick Anna and I up, and we will come join yes. you for that game. So again, Sean, we hope to meet you at some point. Again, we are so grateful that you took your time and were so gracious with us. Thank you so much for that. Go kill it. We're excited to be Miami Shark fans, and we just really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you again to Sean McNulty and to the Miami Sharks, because they were so easy to work with, so accommodating, so kind to be on this new podcast with these two American Texan girls. So thank you so much. Drop us a comment wherever you're listening. Let us know what you thought. And we hope that you will tune in to your local club this weekend. But also, we hope that you found a new favorite player.
Yeah.
Sean.
Keep an eye on him. 2031.
Thanks so much for listening. And we will see you soon.
Bye.
Hey, What the Ruck listeners, thanks so much for joining us today. Check us out on our website at ruckthewhat.com. You can also follow us on our Instagram at the Rugby Mullet and our Facebook page at What the Ruck. See you next time.